Good evening, folks. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. The time is 7:34 p.m. It's April 26, 2021. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the committee. And let's see, we have sent out a draft agenda just before the meeting started. And we do not have a permanent secretary. We have per diem secretaries. So I don't know. I guess I'll call out the roll since we don't have a secretary yet. Let me get the list. Okay. Beth Van Gunten.
Here. Yes.
Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
James Sagerton. James Sagerton.
Here.
Okay. Chris Corey. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Senator Rawline. Senator Rawline. Okay. Polina Vasilyev. Lydia Brazan. Anita Sims. Heather Gray.
Here.
Okay.
One of our listeners wants me to let us, the committee, know that the sound is not on. There's nothing being streamed.
Say that again?
There's a listener letting me know that the sound isn't coming through.
There's the sound, no sound is coming through?
Yeah. I let her know that we were starting to stream, and she said there's still no sound. Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, if somebody wants to check, if somebody is in front of a computer and they want to check if they're getting the streaming or not, we can do that. Anyway, we're going to go on with the meeting. Anyway, we do have a quorum, so I'll read the draft agenda. First item on the agenda is minutes. If we have the minutes from the last meeting, we can approve those. Next item would be, well, actually, the first item is approval of the agenda. I'm a little confused here. Second item would be the minutes approval. Third item would be the we need a secretary for today. And after that, the only substantive item I put on the agenda is to discuss the progress we have made in the five areas we've agreed to explore as possible new sources of revenue, and to repeat what they are. One is a plan to build our emergency preparedness infrastructure and see if we can become eligible for certain grants that are involved in that. Two is the creation of something like a Pacifica Advisory Board, only we're gonna give it another name so as not to confuse it with the CABs. Third is a plan to see if we can create a bond to our listener subscribers, which if we can do that, that could be a possible way to, it wouldn't actually be relieving us of our debts, but it would be a way of transferring our debts from one institution to our member subscribers, which there may be some favorable positive reasons to do that. Number four, plan to monetize podcasting. And number five, plan to have monetize what we call digital recordings of some of our original content. I think the only thing we need to do after that is set a date for the next meeting and adjourn. So that's my proposal for a draft agenda. Does somebody want to make a motion to adopt the draft agenda?
Julie, so moved.
Okay. Does anybody have any amendments to propose to the draft agenda? Okay. Are there any objections to the draft agenda then? Okay, so that's what we'll do. I forget who volunteered to do the minutes for the last meeting, from the last meeting?
I think it was Chris Corey.
Oh, and he's not here. Unfortunate.
And I didn't see any minutes that he might have sent, but I think the meeting before that, Julie, I had been the secretary and I sent the minutes out, but I sent them right before the meeting the last time, and people hadn't had a chance. But if people have had a chance, we could approve those minutes or talk about approving.
So let's make a motion to approve the minutes from the I forget what date that meeting was. Do you remember what date that meeting was? The minutes for?
Oops, March 30th. Sorry, I was talking on mute.
It was for the 30th of March, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are there any corrections for those minutes? Anybody? Okay, so those minutes are approved, and next item is who wants to be secretary for the day? Okay, I know this is a very popular assignment. Hey, but look, we all have to suffer. Somebody has to suffer today. Not so much suffering. We don't have such complicated meetings.
Alex, I can do it again. It's Julie.
Oh, thank you.
I won't wait till, an hour before the next meeting to send them out. That's my goal this time.
It's greatly appreciated. Thank you. Okay. Then let's get on to business then from let's see what progress has been made. And I don't have any particular order that we should do this in. I'll just go by the order that's in the agenda, which is just sort of random. So the first of the exploratory areas was the plan to build out our emergency prepared an infrastructure to see if we could get some funding in that area. Beth, do you have something to report on that?
I can run down what I've been doing. I've started by requesting copies of the, whatever current emergency response plan each unit has, and I'm still waiting for a response on that. Everyone, given that this is Pacifica, everyone's very much caught up in the crisis of the moment, and it's kind of hard to cut through that for something that doesn't seem immediately urgent. So I'm following up with phone calls. I know for a fact that PFK doesn't have one, having tried throughout last year to get a copy and having been told that there wasn't one. And in that process, I was told that KPFK also doesn't have one, although that was that was from a KPFK source.
Well, let's not say we don't have one, because I think we're required to have one. Let's just say we don't. We haven't.
I have yet to receive one.
We haven't found it. Yes.
Okay. So that's the first order of business, is just to get whatever our current state of affairs is as our baseline, so that we have it to compare to going forward.
Where are you trying to get the information from, Beth? Are you calling the general managers?
I've emailed them so far. And you know, especially given that out here at KPFK, that situation is somewhat in flux, it's not surprising it might take them. I probably know more about our emergency response plan than the current IGM does. I've got that process is initiated, and I will follow up until I get something. In the meanwhile, I'm reviewing potential templates. There are a lot of templates out there, and some would fit our needs better than others. I'd like to see what people, for those who have plans in place, I'd like to see what templates are already using and whether it makes sense to go with one of those or to update to something that we could use, like to harmonize all our different systems across the network. I've also started researching national broadcast emergency management media best practices. I've done this for a number of other fields regarding local community emergency response planning. Like you can find dedicated things for the faith-based community or assisted living facilities or arts facilities or whatever, and there'll be a whole portfolio of resources available specific to those fields. And I was surprised not to find much at all, especially anything current regarding broadcast media. And I dug and did finally find a couple of older documents regarding best management practices for emergency response. But one of them came from the George W. Bush era, and hadn't been updated since then. And then it was picked up by 10 years later, then a later iteration of the same national committee who had formed work groups and proposed updating them, but I could never find a document that actually did that. Usually you can download lots of stuff, PDFs and templates and best practices, and all that's out there. You just have to know to look for it and what to call it. I finally found references to that document when I looked in Wikipedia. It surfaced under regulatory capture, which is when an industry, a private industry end of an industry, sort of takes over and dominates the regulatory process. And that might explain why there's not a lot publicly available. So that I just got that far just in the last couple of days. It took some digging to get that far. So I have I'm a ham radio operator and have other connections through that network who have been lifelong broadcast media pros in Los Angeles and active with emergency response with the sheriff's office there. And I'm going to talk to them and ask.
Well, you might speak, you know, who you might speak to is Tom Voorhees, because he does a lot of work on the infrastructure for many small radio stations.
He is on my list. I'm looking forward to that conversation. I've heard, you know, our paths have crossed at a number of different committees, but we've never actually gotten to have a conversation, and this might be just his cup of tea. So that's very good advice, and I'll take
that. Yeah, he very well know a lot about this stuff.
So that's as far as I've gotten, and I've downloaded a few things. Articles, but they're probably, I don't know that they would be of interest to people, you know, of general interest. I'm happy to send them on if people want, but I don't want to clog up your inboxes. So if people have a particular interest or concern or curiosity, let me know and I can send it on. And so that's as far as I've gotten, and I'm still working. Thanks.
Okay. I mean, When you, you know, when you get a little bit more closer to, say, an implementation stage, maybe what we can do is organize a meeting through the with the executive director and all the station's general managers.
Yeah.
Have a little talk about this. I mean, I think that might be it. Right now, we're pretty... You know, everybody's pretty booked with the audits and this and that, but
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I intend to talk with Lydia along the way here, but I know that she's just slammed right now, and that she doesn't need one new thing with details. She won't be able to. I'll be asking more questions when she has answers for. So I'll wait until we get past at least this audit thing, and then. You know, I'll look for the moment.
Let's at least get past the audit.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Beth on this or anything? Comments?
This is Julie. I just had one thought, which is if you haven't heard back from the GMs at all of the units, I wonder if it might be helpful if the others on this committee got in touch with their GM. Like, if you could forward the email to us, then one of us could say, hey, I just want, you know, and copy you, but say, hey, Jerry, can you help me, you know, figure out how we respond to Beth? So that might get you answers faster.
I'd like to try following up with a phone call first, and if that doesn't do it, I will take you up on that offer. Thank you.
Great.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the plan to create a Pacifica Advisory Board. I've been thinking a little bit more about this, and I actually do think that if we did anything like that, the best way to do it would be to by way of an amendment to the bylaws that sets up, again, it should not be called an advisory board because that would confuse it with the CABs. It's not, it has a completely, you know, somewhat different purpose. This would be more like a group of experts in various areas and possibly celebrities as well who might help us in terms of our image, in terms of attracting major donors, and in terms of helping us solve various problems that require some special expertise. So I think maybe if we're going to do this, the right way to do it would be to do it with a bylaws amendment. That way it's not going to be forgotten, and you know, It's not going to be one of those things that gets set up 1 year and forgotten the next year and so on. What do you all think about that?
This is Beth.
Yeah.
In general, I support the idea of an advisory board, or whatever you want to call it. Organizations often use it as some place to invite emeritus board members who are no longer on the board, but nevertheless embody institutional memory, and this keeps them available. I personally would be reluctant to put it to burden our bylaws any further with anything that wasn't required by law. I went through training out here from the California with the Ventura County Community Foundation. They brought in a lawyer specifically to discuss how to assess your bylaws in terms of California 501c3 law. And he explained that every word in the bylaws becomes a potential target for litigation. And so the simpler, the cleaner you can keep your bylaws, the more you can ratchet down potential liability. And that it's a legal document. It exists as a legal document. We have it because it's required as a legal document. And therefore, if the most the safest and most efficient way to do it is just to stick as close as you can to what's required by the law, article by article. And he says anything that's not absolutely required by the law probably shouldn't be in the bylaws. It should be in policy. It would help if we had an actual working process, a library of all our existing policies, so that it didn't just get, you know, fall through the cracks or something. We need a receptacle for that.
Yeah, I mean, modernizing our bylaws is something that some of us have thought about, but that's kind of like a different topic. I know it's a little bit of a diversion, but I know that we can hire an outside group for not that much, a few thousand dollars, I think, to rewrite those portions of our bylaws that have to do with legal requirements, and that they would bring them into conformity with the latest revisions of the California Corporate Code and so on and so forth, which is something we probably should do. But it's not something I feel like pushing at the moment. We got too many other things going on. Anybody else?
Alex, this is Heather.
Yeah.
I must apologize to everyone. I am driving here, so apologize for any noise. I think it's very appropriate, if we're going to have an advisory committee or whatever we want to call it, that it be in the bylaws. So I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that it should be that way. So thank you. I agree with that.
Okay. Well, anybody else?
This is James.
James.
I'd like to read up on this a little bit. I was wondering if Beth could provide us with some citations for where we could read up on this. I'm not trying to challenge what she said. I'm curious to get a little more information.
May I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. It took me a minute to get off of hold or off of mute. Yes, I can send you a copy of the notes from the training that I had, where he reviews this. I would be happy to send that. James and I, just for to enlighten others in this committee, James and I both sat on the governance committee last year, where I chaired the bylaws review and revision subcommittee there, where we had intended to implement this this process there, except our current bylaws don't allow more than one person from each station on that committee. So Lawrence is sitting on that committee this year. And so I will continue to work on this on my own in through whatever path I can find. And I'd be happy to share my resources with anybody who's interested. So yes, James, I'll send that to you. And if there's anybody else who would like to see that, let me know. Thanks.
Chair, may I respond briefly?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to suggest, Beth, why don't you send it to the whole committee so anybody can read it that is interested.
Will do. Will do.
Okay. Good. okay. Next item is the bond proposal. Lyndon, have you had a chance to do any more digging into that one?
No, Alex, I haven't. I did talk to Chris, and he's, well, I don't want to take his thunder or anything. So I don't know what his results have been. So, sorry.
Okay, so that's okay. We'll defer that discussion until Chris returns, I guess. Podcasting. That's the next item. Planning to monetize podcasting. This one is a little tricky because we know that this can be done because other stations have done it. But we also know that it's a very competitive field and that there are lots, it would require a lot of work to implement it. For instance, we'd have to figure out some kind of a uniform type of contract that all the podcasters would have to agree to, so that we can, have some kind of a system where the content providers, that would be the podcasters, would get a certain share of income from whatever subscriptions come about, but Pacifica would also get a share. And how that's done and how that could be done equitably and how that could be enforced, there's a million details there. So I think we need to, we need to get some more expertise involved in this whole enterprise. This is not something that's just gonna come out of a few good ideas. The ideas are out there. We have, but the implementation is gonna require a lot of work, and it's kind of tricky. Does anybody have some ideas on this? Well, I mean, I think the best thing at this point to do is to see if we can get some advice from others who have some experience in this area, who actually successfully implemented podcasting and generated some revenue out of it. So I'll see what I can do to follow up on that. So let's go on to the last item was to
Alex, before you move on. I'm sorry, I was distracted. I wonder if you or anyone else here could give us a briefing on to what extent our stations are doing this. I know at WBAI we have some programmers who do their own podcasts based on their show. We have other programmers who allow us to own their show and podcast it. And
Well, we are doing podcasting, and I'm pretty sure all the stations are doing it. We're just not making any money out of it.
Well, so I was wondering if the people here have any information about that, at what's going on at their stations, and then maybe get somebody in from Pacifica who's actively involved in exploring this, and maybe they could talk to us about it.
Well, we have that task force that's been working on it at WBAI.
That's what I was thinking of, but I thought there might be some others as well.
If there are, I'm not aware of them. There may very well be. I think we should reach out to. I hate to say it, but I think we should reach out to some of the stations that have implemented this successfully and see if they, somebody there would be willing to give us some advice or some reports on how they did it. That's what I think we should be.
Sounds good.
That would be, the number one benefactor of podcasting in our area is WNYC. They are making a significant amount of their revenue from podcasting these days.
Yep.
So, Alex, this is Heather. Could I say something as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to mention to everyone that the affiliate program actually does a lot of podcasting, actually. But I don't know enough. I don't know about the ins and outs of it. So I'm mentioning this because I'm going to find out and I'll report to the group. Just want you to know that. So that's what I wanted to say, Alex.
Okay. All right. I mean, if there's some experience with the affiliates, if they figured out how to do this and generate some revenue out of it, that would be very useful.
Well, good. I'll look into it. I'll let everybody know.
Okay. All right.
Hi, Alex. So, this is Sandra. I just wanted to let you know I joined the call. I'm sorry that I was late.
Okay. Nope.
Audit committee meets in 25 minutes, roughly. So I've been.
That's why we scheduled this early. So.
Okay.
Those of you who need to be on the audit committee can get on the audit committee.
Thank you.
So the last item was the plan to how shall I describe this? Lyndon, you want to describe it and say something about it?
Yes, I'd just say to use the NFT marketplace to try to monetize some of our archives, get some value out of those archives. And so I sent everybody a link to a article from the Cardozo School of Law, I guess their newspaper or something, and it went into quite a bit of depth, although it's been a week since I read it. It seemed to went into a lot of depth on the copyright issue. And so I'm pretty convinced that what we originally thought about being able to keep the copyright and to benefit from any future sales of if anything we have sales is valid. So I think those presumptions are good. And I have not found a marketplace that fits our needs yet. I don't think there's one Nifty, but which is the Winklevoss brothers, the guys who lost out to Zuckerberg on Facebook. They've been making a few headlines, but I'm not sure if that's the place we'd want to go. But I was reading just a minute ago, something called Phillips Auction House sold something from a Canadian for $4.1 million. And I think that's just normal auction.
That Phillips is one of the most well-regarded art galleries in the world. Really?
There you go. So,
I mean, they're up there with Sotheby's and Christie's.
Right. So the next thing is, do we call some of these people and try to engage them in conversation to get a little bit more information to see if they would be, you know, assist us. Or we can set up our, it looks like we could set up our own auction house. But I guess our problem is going to be marketing, because we're going to have to get the word out to the right audience to take a look at this.
Anyway, Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'm pretty much done.
I found an item that could be the subject of our first experiment in this area.
Okay.
And it's actually not an audio recording. It's a photograph. But it's
okay.
A photograph that's a historic photograph that we own and that could potentially be of great interest to people who are, you know, follow Pacifica and follow the history of countercultural movements and, you know, not just radio, but just the counterculture. I don't want to say too much more about it, because I don't want to identify it too specifically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say
I could tell you offline what I'm thinking of.
Okay. Okay. Good. So yeah, I think we should definitely plan on proceeding with this and think about how we can market it, how we can get the word out. And of course, I guess Pacifica newsletter could get some out of it. As you're saying, if this is something that's more peculiar to Pacifica and the old hippies or something.
It's an iconic photograph that involves the 1960s counterculture and involves Pacifica and WBAI radio station directly, in fact. But
right.
I won't say more than that.
Okay, so we need to find somebody in New York City with some deep pockets that really loves this thing.
There are such people. I know there are.
I hear. Yeah, because I'm looking at something called White Label NFT Marketplace. It's an app factory. I think it's to, you know, will build an auction house for unique items. And we're definitely a unique item. So, we may set up our own auction house, or maybe some of these other people let us set up an auction house. I haven't quite taken that leap yet.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get like an experimental model working, then we could begin to do this in a serious way with, you know, with Pacifica Radio Archives fully on board and everything. Yeah.
Okay, so that's my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from anybody? Comments?
This is Julie. I like the idea of continuing to pursue this. I just want to make sure that we are mindful of Mark Torres's point that they're trying to get a major grant for the archives to, finish the digitizing, the actual digitizing. And that we don't want to get in the way of that. But I feel like we could be doing a lot of groundwork on this idea so that, you know, when that moment comes, we're ready to strike.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, we got that. No, we're not going to do anything that conflicts with the projects of the of PRA. Okay.
And I would just notice that I believe, Alex, you're talking about a photograph that would not involve what they're doing, which is restoring the tapes and preserving the tapes.
Well, yeah, that's why. That's one reason I think this might be a good subject for an experiment because it does not involve the Pacifica archives, but we could use the same procedures once we're ready. But we need to test this to see if it, you know, we could actually get a working model of how this could, you know, how this could function.
Okay. Alex, one thing. Did you check about petty cash, or are we going to maybe fund this out of our own pocket?
Oh, I forgot to, but I'll check with Lydia.
Okay.
Give me a projected cost, but I think I recall it was like something under 300 or something, right?
Right. Something between 200 and 300.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly ignorant on the subject, but that's what I'm gathering so far.
Yeah, I think we should be able to do that. I mean, if there's a problem, we could, I don't know, you know, we could, some of us could chip in and just to, we'll make it happen one way or the other.
Okay.
I don't foresee a problem. Let's put it that way. Okay. If that's it, then the only other thing we need to do is set the date and time for the next meeting. Do you want to meet again in 2 weeks? Yes?
Beth,
no? Sure.
This is Beth. I think we're more likely to keep the ball moving if we do.
I think you're probably right. Anybody else?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay. So let's meet in 2 weeks. And I think we'll just, you know, keep plugging along, and hopefully we'll have some, we'll be further along at least with implementing some of these ideas. Lyndon, let's make sure we have another conference on that item this Friday.
Okay, that'd be real good.
And I'll set up the meeting again.
Okay, Alex.
Okay. All right. So I guess we can adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Call move.
We adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay.
So this is Heather. I want to thank everyone, too. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.